Episode 159 of the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Welcome back. My name is Jeremy, and I am hosting just the intro to today's conversation because you're going to get a chance to hear from three great friends of the youth worker community, Holly Bishu, Kara Allison, and Austin White. They'll introduce themselves as a part of this conversation. And honestly, it's a great honor to have other youth workers jump into the podcast and be able to talk about the practical questions, the things that we're wrestling with on the ground in youth ministry. And so these three youth pastors are going to share a little bit about what they do when their youth groups are grieving, when their teenagers are going through all sorts of different things that are challenging. And their thoughts are wonderful and looking forward to the practical ideas that they're going to get to you. But I did also want to make sure that you know, heading into this conversation, that if you want to keep digging a little bit more into this particular topic, we actually do have another couple episodes that you can check out. In fact, if you haven't seen, there are an enormous amount, 159 episodes of this podcast. And so if you circle back through, you can find all sorts of different topics covered. But in particular, episode 117, How Do You Walk With Your Student Through Grief and Loss with Dr. Dorothy Hunts, was a great conversation. She's from Acadia Divinity College and an expert in the stages of grief, and a really surprising conversation about that. And then back on episode 5, one of the very early ones, How Should I Help Students Who Are Hurting, with Dr. Marv Penner from our team here at the Youth Worker Community. So those are two other conversations that if this particular one does spark your interest, if you're thinking about the teenagers that you serve and the things that they're going through and you want to go into this conversation even more, there's a couple other places that you can check out. But I'm really grateful for today and for you to be able to hear from these three wonderful friends and their wisdom as they unpack their personal experiences with grief in their ministry, and they'll cover some practical tips of leading amidst loss. So here we go for episode 159 with Holly, Kara, and Austin.
Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this conversation. We're entitling this Help My Teens Are Grieving. So glad that you're with us.
My name's Holly. I am the youth director at a church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, but I am Canadian. Don't get it twisted. I just moved to the U.S. and I'm on this call with a couple of my Canadian youth worker friends.
Yeah, and my name is Kara. I am in Surrey and Langley, British Columbia, and I also work with students in grades 6 to 12.
Absolutely. And my name's Austin. I am over in Moncton, New Brunswick. If you don't know where that is, that's okay. We're just about 4 hours east of Maine. A lot of people tell me they didn't even know there was anything 4 hours east of Maine, but we're here on the east coast of Canada, and I am the youth and young adult pastor at Moncton Wesleyan Church, and we're excited to chat today. So first off, can we just give a little bit of an intro and backstory into why we're passionate about this subject? I'd love for any of you guys to hop on in.
Yeah. So I started thinking about this topic when I moved to my new position here in Minnesota. I am in a context where a lot of hard things happen. And now we're all going through a pandemic. We all are living this trauma together. And so we're all grieving the loss of something, especially in the high school years. We're grieving the loss of things like graduations, of friends moving because of job situations, of their parents. We're grieving the loss of these milestones. So we're all grieving something. But in my particular context, it's a low income, high crime context. And so really hard things happen when that's the scenario. We've had shootings. Within 2 weeks of me starting my job, our local high school, a 15-year-old was shot and killed. So it's various things. Sorry, I'm in my car. It's various things like that that made me go, I think we need to figure out how, as youth workers, to respond in times of grief. And I brought this to my friends and like, hey, this is what I'm dealing with right now. This is kind of the most salient topic. And we realized that it was a much bigger topic than just, oh, there was a shooting, or oh, there was this. Like, there's lots of things to be grieving. A lot of things happen in teenagehood. I think of divorces of parents. I think of the death of parents or grandparents, or, you know, so much that has gone on. And so that's a bit of my heart around this topic and why I think it's important for all youth workers to be equipped to have some sort of gospel response to our teenagers who are grieving.
I love that. Yeah. And I think we hear the word grieving and then we think like often death. And I love what you said, Holly, if it's something bigger than that too, there's all different types of things that we are grieving, our students are grieving. I think about even situations where, you know, people just disappoint us, people in, sometimes even in the church, disappoint us. And whether it's choices they make or things that happen, situations that come to light, but those are things that we can grieve too. And it's very real to walk through.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you bringing that up, that piece about people in the church disappointing us, because there's a lot going on in the church right now. And I think our teens often don't know how to process it. Like, and we maybe sometimes forget as youth workers that they're hearing the same things we are. They're on the same social media that we are. They're seeing the same things we are. And we're so wrapped up in trying to figure out our own responses that we forget that we need to pastor our students through it too, because we have more life experience. We have more time understanding this stuff, and they're wondering, wait, what? They did this thing that's supposed to be bad. How am I supposed to trust people again? And the grief of that trust broken. I love that you pointed that out. Thanks, Kara.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to youth ministry, one of the things that I've been learning a lot lately is just the power of presence. Being with teens is so important. And I'm probably going to need to sneak, like, we're going to talk scripture. We're going to talk about what we're learning in youth ministry and what you as youth leaders, we hope will be valuable to you. And we're learning from you, honestly. our youth leaders are so awesome, and we want to commend you for walking through teens' grief with them. But I'm going to quote Bob Goff, and I think we'll probably chuck his book in the show notes.
Did you know Kara just met him?
I did not know that. What? Oh, stop. Now I'm so self-conscious because I really want to meet him. Kara.
I know. I want to meet him too. I literally have it in my phone as a note after I read Love Does. I wrote in my note, I will be friends with Bob Goff. And so one day, Bob Goff, we're going to be friends. And I think we'll get along really well. I feel like we have similar vibes, Bob Goff.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to say a brief message to Bob Goff, and then we're going to quickly get back to the quote from Bob Goff. Bob, if you're listening to this, Holly Bishu and Austin White want to meet you, even though Kara Allison already has.
Yeah.
Back to the matter at hand. he said this great thing in his book. It was his first book, Love Does. He says, most people need love and acceptance a lot more than they need advice. And then he also said, I used to want to fix people, but now I just want to be with them. And here's the reason that resonates with me so much. I've realized that at the end of the day, when it comes to grief, kids don't need somebody with all the answers. They need somebody with two ears. And that's why I'm so passionate about this topic.
Okay, Austin White. Okay.
All right.
We're going to be out here quoting him. People don't need someone with all the answers. They just need someone with two ears. Come on. Yes.
Holly, I'll be happy if you tweet that.
That's our first key tip, I think. How to go through grief with our students is the first step is listening. We're not rushing in with any sort of answers. We're not running in thinking we know what to do. But we're literally just sitting down and going, I'm in it with you. You are not alone. You're not going through these feelings alone, these big feelings. You don't have to carry them alone. I'm here to carry them with you. Before I want to try and fix anything, before I think I can fix anything, I want to hear you. And I want to know what it is you're going through, because I don't want you to think you're alone.
So good. And I think part of that too is just like literally showing up. You know, and it doesn't have to be showing up fancy. It can just show up as you are. I had a family and they were grieving the loss of a pet, actually. And then I showed up at their house with donuts one day, and it meant the world to them that I would just show up and be present. And, you know, I didn't really have any answers for them or things, any wise words to say, but it was the listening and being a really present voice in their life.
Absolutely. And I think this is a little bit of an older term, but I think sometimes it might be useful. Sometimes in leadership circles or pastoral circles, they might talk about bedside manners. And again, it's a bit of an older term, but I think the principle's there that it's so important for us to realize that whether a middle school teen is struggling with the breakup of her boyfriend of 3 days or 3 years, it's really important for us to create space for their feelings and space for them to know that this is a spot where, regardless if it's a 3-day relationship or a 3-year relationship, we value and love you with the love of Jesus so much that we want to hear from you. And it's like, and I think even just a simple thing of any time a student reaches out to you, and listen, I just have to say, I'm not the best at this. Anytime a student reaches out to you with a concern or a prayer request, if you just take 5 seconds and say, Ben, thank you so much for reaching out to me. I'm so honored to be your youth leader. I'm so honored that you trusted me enough to reach out. That creates a culture and a system and even a code of values where they're like, oh, they value me. They value me reaching out about what I'm going through.
Yeah, I honestly, that leads me to what I think might be a really good second tip is don't minimize their feelings. It might be something that doesn't make sense to you. It might be something that you don't feel is that big of a deal, but it might be the biggest thing in their world right now. And so the way we respond, like Austin just said, matters just as much as the fact that we're there. And so we're not minimizing. We are saying things, we are empathizing. We're saying, I'm sorry. I can see this really hurts. I can see this really sucks right now. We're not trying to rush past the feeling. We're not trying to move them past whatever they're feeling in that moment. We're recognizing that in that moment, they're feeling something deep and we need to let them feel it and validate what is a real feeling. Now, teens feel a lot of things and it's really good. And we have the opportunity to help them process their feelings. But in a moment of grief, especially acute, really new grief, I don't think that any of that is really helpful. It's just sitting with them and saying, man, this really sucks. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry that this is how life is right now. I'm sorry that you're hurting. I wish you were not hurting right now. This is not the way it should be.
And Holly, if I can jump in on that, like I'll give a small example to illustrate exactly what you just said. I remember I was in Bible college. I wasn't even a teen. I would have been 18 at the time. And it was this small little thing that I shared with a pastor that I looked up to so much. And I shared this small little thing and he said something to the effect of, yeah, just wait until you're my age and you'll really understand what that's like. And again, it wasn't like I had a pet die or anything. It was just a small little thing. But what he just said, and I think he was almost trying to relate, like saying, oh, I kind of know where you're coming from. But even as an 18-year-old who had graduated high school, I felt that kind of pang of hurt. I'm like, oh, so what you're saying is I shouldn't really be feeling this until I'm 10 years older. So I think what you said, Holly, is so key because especially as adults, we're trying to relate with teens, right? And the concern can be, what if you say, oh, well, I know exactly how you're feeling. That might not actually be the best thing to say.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I think that it matters in that moment how we respond.
Can I share a passage of scripture? I think one thing that as youth leaders, maybe we need to be really aware of and cognizant of is be expecting these conversations, right? John 10, chapter 10 makes it really clear. Jesus is speaking and he says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus, come to bring life and life to the full. Jesus made it really clear that we'd go through suffering. And all you need to do is go through just a brief reading of the Old Testament through Job, through the life of Jesus, through the life of the apostles, and realize that this is a part of it. And I think that one of the things that we can do to benefit teens is letting them know that we serve a God who's suffered. And maybe, just maybe, we can help them believe and know and feel that God can empathize with their suffering in a way that we as youth leaders and youth pastors can't, I would argue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so often youth students bring up like the shortest verse in the Bible. They love to memorize it. I was like, Jesus wept. But it's like, it's so true. Jesus did weep and he feels the things that we feel. Like we have this Jesus, the Savior who knows. And that is such a beautiful thing to know that, A, we're not alone, but that we're not alone in our feelings either. And students aren't alone in their feeling.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And I think, to me, that kind of leads into maybe a final point, that we have the opportunity to, at the right and appropriate time, remind them of hope. That Jesus wept, yes, but that wasn't the end of what happened. What actually happened was that Jesus resurrected Lazarus, and it was going to point to his own resurrection. that we have the hope of the gospel, that grief is actually not the end of the story, but that the end of the story is a day is coming when he will wipe every tear from our eyes and pain and suffering will be no more. And I think that is the difference between us and another sort of youth organization or whatever. You can go to any kind of group to grieve with. We have the opportunity as believers, when appropriate, I'm not saying rush there. It might not even be in the first, third, or fifth conversation, but you do have the opportunity to say, this is not the way it should be, but let me tell you, it's also not the way it will always be, right? That grief is pointing to a brokenness in the world, but our God is in the process of making everything right, and there will be a day where it will no longer be this way. And I think that's one of the most beautiful opportunities for us in the midst of grief, that we get to point our youth to hope, to a day that is coming, to a Jesus who walks with us, like you said, a Holy Spirit that has been given to us, that dwells within us to continue to give us hope in the midst of grief. One of my favorite things about the Bible is that we are not those who grieve without hope, is a verse. Like we know what the end is, and the end is not death, pain, and misery. It's life everlasting with Jesus in a kingdom that will never perish, that all things are made new and perfect peace reigns. And that to me is kind of like my biggest tip is, like, eventually we get a chance to share hope, and we would be remiss not to share that hope, that gospel hope that we have in Jesus, that resurrection, new life hope.
And if I can just jump in and say this, Holly, bottom line, we don't need to even say anything more, because at the end of the day, I just feel like throwing out my sermon for tonight and then just taking what you just said, and then that's it, right? Because we know the end of the story. We read Revelation, and we know that he is the King of Kings, right? As we're kind of tying up, I'm going to make a plug and say this. Obviously, I think it would be super beneficial if we could connect with you on social media, but I do need to give a specific plug and say that if I only had a couple words to describe Holly Bishu, Holly loves Jesus and justice, right? So that's her life's work, is justice. So if you're wondering about grief, wondering about how to make a positive impact and breathe life into your students, I definitely encourage you to look up Holly on Twitter. Also look up Kara, but that's my shameless plug because she's funny on Twitter too, which definitely helps. But that being said, I think that all three of us just want to leave you with a brief word of encouragement as you say, man, help, my teens are grieving. So Holly, do you want to go first and just share a word?
Yeah. If you are in your teen's life as they are grieving, it means you are called to this. God has put you in this place for this purpose, and he will equip you for the work that he has for you to do in this time. And so do not fear, youth worker. Do not fear, volunteer leader. Do not fear, youth pastor. God is with you, and he will give you the words. Just trust him. And your call in this moment is to be faithful.
It's so good. I've always loved 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but one of power and love and a sound mind. No, what that doesn't mean is we won't experience timidity, that we won't experience fear. But what Paul is saying as he's writing to a young leader, or maybe even a leader who's ministering to young people, is a better way to put it, is so often we can feel overwhelmed, but we are not filled with a spirit of timidity, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. And we can take encouragement in that. And Kara, do you want to land the plane as we just kind of give a final word of encouragement and say thank you to youth leaders?
Yeah. So as we think about it, just encourage you to think about places that you can create honest spaces for conversations with your kids, to just show up and listen. But then know that, yeah, God goes with you in those moments, and he is so present, and his gospel is so real and transforming. So know that we are thinking of you, we are praying for you, and know that what you do matters, and you're making a huge and eternal difference in the lives of students. So never forget that. Keep doing what you're doing, and we love you so much.
Thanks so much.
Amen.
Thanks so much.
Bye from us.
See ya.